Amen. Thank you so much for your help tonight, young people, to lead us in a time of worship. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to four different books, okay? Not all at once. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 4, though. Matthew chapter 4 is we're going to start tonight, and if you're able, let's stand together. I just want to share some encouragement from God's Word with you tonight, and just some things that have been on my heart, and just when you get around people and you hear testimonies and you hear things that are going on in their life, it impacts you, and you want to help people from the Word of God to find the right answers. And one of the things I want to talk to you about tonight is just about the personal decision that it takes for you to follow Jesus. You know, I meet a lot of people, and we talk to them about what's going to happen when they die. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And a lot of times, I can't tell you how many times people have said something like this: well, my grandpa was a preacher. And that's their answer for whether they're going to go to heaven or not. And that's always really concerning for me, because your grandfather's faith in Jesus may have an impact on you, but unless you personally have faith in Jesus, it does you no good. You understand what I'm saying? And I think there are a lot of people who grow up in church, who are in church, who are around the things of God, and maybe they have a great influence in their life outwardly, but they've never made a decision inwardly. They have never made a personal decision to trust Christ as their Savior. They are not personally following Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight that you have to follow Jesus. And almost to the point that I want to go around the room and just like each person, you and you and you and you and you and you and you. I don't do that because it'd take up the whole time. But I think that a lot of times we hear the message, and it's because it's broadcast to so many, it's not taken in individually. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I see some of you that get are acknowledging. Other people that aren't getting it, you're not getting it. You have to get it. You have to get it. You have to take it in. You have to hear Jesus. You have to believe. You have to trust in him. You have to follow him. And like my kids, they have to come to church because we make them. Right? Not a choice. Not an option. They come because they're forced to. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But at some point, my children have to come to a place where they personally make a choice. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to be gone. And they have to decide to follow Jesus. If you look in your Bible at Matthew chapter 4, and you'll find verse 19, I want you to notice Jesus says unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then if you were to look in your Bible at John chapter 21, and you were to find verse 22, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord," in verse 21, Peter seeth him saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." When Jesus called these men, when he called them, he started with "follow me." Peter was one of those men. "Follow me." And Jesus has died for their sins. He's risen again. He has appeared to them for 40 days and 40 nights. He's about to ascend back into heaven. And what was his last command to Peter individually? "Follow me." And really, friends, that's the essence of what we have to do. If we are going to be real disciples of Jesus, we have to follow. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come to sing your praises and to open your word tonight. I pray that you'd help me just to communicate with your people your word tonight in a way that would impact all of our hearts. Lord, we come and we pray that you would forgive our sin where we failed you today and this week. And we pray that you'll cleanse our hearts and help us to have ears to hear, to personalize your word tonight, that we would internalize your word tonight, that we would be changed by your word tonight. please move in hearts. And if there's anyone here who's never been born again, anyone listening online who's never been saved, I pray tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Tonight they would put their faith in Christ alone. Tonight they would pray and ask you to forgive them, ask you to be their Savior. Lord, for those who are saved, I pray that everyone here would make the decisions they need to make to be saved, to be baptized, to serve you in a greater way, to repent or confess of anything in their lives. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, help us to follow you by faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to be seated, please. And I want you to see that we have to personally follow Jesus. I want to ask you the question tonight, are you following Jesus? And to get a better idea of the kind of personal decision that it takes for you to follow Jesus, I want to go to an Old Testament example. So if you would now turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. And if you'll find in Ruth, look at verse 3, and you'll remember what happened. Elimelech took his family because there was a famine in the land, and he led his family into Moab so that they could get by there. Elimelech, and he took his wife Naomi, which by the way means pleasant, and he took his son Mahlon, which means sick, and he took his son Chilion, which means basically, it means pining or destruction or consumption or failing. I mean, take your pick. So, you know, obviously, they didn't go through the naming process that Melissa and I went through for our kids. I mean, we wrestled with what to name our kids. And looked, anybody else look at baby name books and stuff like that? And family tree, family name, anybody? Yeah, I know the Barnes did, right? He took his wife Pleasant and his sons Sick and Consumption, and they went into Moab. And you know the story. In verse 3, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So Naomi, she goes with her husband, then her husband dies, and then her sons get married, and her sons die, and they spend all this time in Moab, but then she hears things are better back home, so they decide to go home. And verse 7 says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi says, I'm going home, and Orpah and Ruth both go with her. Everybody with me? They both go on the way. Then Naomi says in verse 8, unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. You've been great daughters-in-law, and you've been good to me since your husbands have died, but now you need to go home to your parents' house. Verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. I want you to get this. Originally, both Orpah and Ruth have decided to go home with Naomi. We're going to go with you. We're with you. And they weep at the thought of Naomi leaving them. They both cry with bitter tears at the thought of being separated from their beloved mother-in-law. We will surely return with you to your people. Verse 11, Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now Naomi says this, listen, I got no more sons for you to marry. That's what happened under the law. If your husband died, you would marry a brother, they would raise up seed in their name. And Naomi said, listen, I am too old to have kids. And even if I got married tonight, you can't wait around for my boys to grow up to marry. And it breaks my heart that you are going to go without a husband and without children. Go home and get you a husband. Because their husbands were dead, they were free to marry again. And she was grieved about what was going on, and she felt like the Lord was against her. And verse 14 says, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now you notice that in the beginning, Orpah had a desire. She, with much tears, wept and said, we're going to go with you, Naomi. But when Naomi said, listen, here's the reality. The reality is I'm going to go back to my people. The reality is I got nobody else for you to marry. The reality is you're going to be alone, and I'm going to be alone, and we're all going to die alone. Orpah says, you know what, you make a good point. Bye. And she goes home to her mother's house. Everybody with me? Then I want you to look at what Ruth says in verse 16. She says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Ruth says, please, don't say that. Don't plead with me. Don't beg me to not follow you. Please, Naomi, don't tell me to go back from following after you. Now, you guys are familiar with this, right? For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And I want you to get this next phrase because it's the most critical part of the whole thing. Everybody with me? Look at it. And thy God, my God. She said, I want you to go back home. Naomi said, go home to your mothers. Go home to your gods. Go home to your stuff. Go back to your culture, your people, your gods. But Ruth said, no, 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 no. I'm going to go wherever you go because your God will be my God. And this, friends, changes everything. This changes everything. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, most of you have studied the book of Ruth, and you know the end of the story, and you know how God works it all out. But I promise you, Ruth didn't know. She knew only one thing. She had seen the work of God in spite of all the circumstances. She had seen the devotion. She had seen and heard about the God of Israel, the God of Naomi's people. And she said, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. And listen, Naomi didn't have any prospects. She didn't know where she was going to go. She didn't know where she was going to live. She didn't know how she was going to feed herself. But Ruth said, I'm going to go wherever you go. Why? Because your God is going to be my God. I want you to get this, especially young people. Listen, it's great for all of you adults here and all of you young people here who have trusted Jesus as your Savior. Jesus is your God. You have decided to follow Jesus. You have decided to turn away from the world. You've decided to turn away from your sin. You have decided to turn away from culture. You have decided to turn away from atheism and agnosticism and all the other isms that are in the world. And you have made a decision that the God of the Bible would be your God. And it's very likely that at some point you decided the God of my mother is going to be my God. The God that my grandmother served is my God. But there had to be a point when it became personal to you, when it became real to you, when it wasn't just that's what my dad believes or that's what grandma and grandpa believe, but that's what I believe. I believe. I trust in Jesus. Everybody with me? Amen. Ruth made a decision. And I want you to see how far her decision went. She said, where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. Hey, don't just skip over that. That's big. That's big, isn't it? You remember when Joseph died in Egypt? You remember what he said? He said, one of these days God's going to come and he's going to take you out of this place. And when you go, you take my bones with you. You remember that? Joseph wanted his bones to be with his people. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. But that wasn't Ruth's heart. She didn't say, hey, listen, I'll go with you. But listen, when I die, can you make sure they take me back and bury me at mom's house? Can you make sure they take my bones back to Moab? Can you make sure they take my bones back and get, you know, I want to be buried in the family cemetery. No. She was devoted not only to death, but beyond death. She made a decision. She said, the Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. Her commitment was absolute. I want you to understand tonight that to make a decision to follow Jesus, it takes being real. It takes being genuine. You can't trick God. You can't deceive God. You can't fool God. Now you might pretend and trick your husband. You might pretend and trick your wife. You might pretend and trick your parents or your children, but you cannot pretend and trick God. It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be personal. She said, your God will be my God. I will follow you. I will go with you. You know, it takes humility to follow Jesus. You know, we've got to come to the end of ourselves. It takes being completely empty of ourselves. It takes giving everything to God and holding nothing back. This decision to follow Jesus is more than just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and pray this prayer. Repeat these lines after me and everything's going to be great. You'll get to go to heaven. No, Jesus calls us to count the cost. Jesus calls us to follow him. Amen. After Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he was tempted in the wilderness, he began his earthly ministry. He comes out saying this, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. In Mark, he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. He calls us to repent, to turn away from our sin to God. And then he calls us to believe in the gospel. Believe in his message. Believe in him. And then the next thing you find Jesus saying in Matthew 4 is follow me. Follow me. I think there are a lot of people who have emotional experiences, but they never have a genuine conversion because they haven't truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do I mean by that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul said, listen, you follow me, but you follow me because I've preached the gospel to you. And you believe the gospel, you receive the gospel. He goes on later in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. His point was not to get them to follow him. His point was to get them to follow Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 11 says this, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought or worked in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. And I want you to see the difference between godly biblical sorrow and worldly sorrow. Listen, Orpah cried. She wept. But then she turned around and went home to her gods. Everybody with me? Ruth was there, and she wept too. But when the time for decision came, she turned away from the gods and away from her culture and away from her family and away from everything else so that she could follow the God of Israel. Amen. See, that's godly sorrow. It works repentance. It works a turning away and a change. Does it mean we're never going to fail, never going to fall, never going to sin? No. But it means that God has made a wholesale change in who we are. We're new creatures in Christ. We've got a new direction, a new destination. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, listen, this was godly sorrow. How do I know that? Because look at what it worked in your life. Look at how it changed your behavior. There's evidence of genuine salvation. There's evidence of a personal decision. There's evidence of real repentance. I would suggest to you tonight that we all have some repenting to do. If you're not saved, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin and put your faith in Christ. You need to be born again tonight. If you are saved, but you've never followed Jesus in baptism, did you know that if you are saved and you're not baptized, you're living in disobedience? Did you know that? It's the first command of obedience after you're saved. You need to be baptized. You need to publicly identify with Christ. You need to take that step. If you know that you're saved, then you know that you need to be baptized. Did you know that if you have any unconfessed or unrepented sin in your heart tonight, you are living in open disobedience to God? And it ought to work. The conviction of God ought to work. Godly sorrow that brings some fear and a vehement desire to do what God's called you to do. J. Vernon McGee said, my dad used to tell about a steamboat which plied on the Mississippi River years ago when he was a boy. He said it had a little bitty boiler and a great big whistle. And when the boat was moving upstream and blew its whistle, it would start drifting downstream because it didn't have enough steam to do both. Couldn't keep the paddle going, couldn't keep moving forward and blow the whistle at the same time. You know, I think a lot of worldly sorrow, a lot of worldly repentance, earthly repentance, is just that, it's blowing the whistle. But nothing happens. You're still carried along with the world. You're still carried along with the influences of Satan. God wants us to do more than just blow our whistle. God wants us to do more than just shed some tears. He wants us to personally make a decision to follow Jesus. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. Follow me. Whatever God's doing in somebody else's life, whatever he's doing in the world today, just follow Jesus. But the question is, are you following Jesus? And nobody can answer that question. Listen, I'm not asking you, are you going to church? I'm not even asking you if you're reading your Bible or praying or doing all those good Christian things. I'm saying, are you personally following Jesus? Are you walking with him day by day? Let's stand together. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. While they're coming, I just want to remind you of what Ruth says. She says, where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. And I will be with you until the day that I die. And what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful statement. And how fitting it is to take that and just put yourself in Ruth's place. But instead of following Naomi, follow Jesus. Jesus, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. You are my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. Jesus, by your grace, I will follow you till the day that I die. If you've never been born again, tonight, you can be saved if you'll repent, turn away from your sin, and put your faith in Jesus. If you've been saved and you know that you're saved, you need to follow Jesus in baptism. You can make that decision tonight. If there's anything that's not right between you and the Lord tonight, anything that you're holding back, you're not following him, you're not giving all to him, you can do that tonight while we sing.